I'm going to be prophetically preaching to you. I feel like I am preaching to you the word of the Lord, a rhema word, and something that is going to set direction. It's going to address where we are. It's going to address some issues of where we are, but it's also, how many believe you just don't get that word of a correction? The Lord sends us, he gives us direction. He gives us direction on which way that we should go. We live in a day and age to where, you know, it's the walk that we have with the Lord. We're so filled with the things of the world. And our focus is we want to get a little bit of Jesus. We want to get a little bit of what the world has to offer. And we feel like we can have it all. We want it all. And when I read through the scriptures, I don't read anything about individuals that walk that way or that live that way. They were totally devoted to him. And you could say, well, they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have, you know, social media and all these things to distract them like we do now. Well, there was plenty of distractions. One of those distractions was running from the sword, was running from a cross, was running from being persecuted or dying the death of a martyr. So they basically ran for their lives a lot of the time in the book of Acts. And I've heard this said, I think it was Damon Thompson that said it, that, you know, true Christianity or a mark of someone who was all in for Jesus back in the book of Acts was the blood of the martyrs. But today it's, you know, a real sacrifice is for us to get to church on Sunday. And that's just kind of the place that we've come to. I was taught to work hard. As a young man, my dad worked 35 years in the coal mines before they disabled him. He had about 3 back surgeries. If you've met my dad, he's got 2 fingers missing. He even went back into work after he had those 2 fingers. His hand was completely destroyed. He went back into work. He was just tough. He was hardworking. And he instilled that in me. And I honestly believe that it takes hard work and it takes dedication and it takes perseverance and persistence and consistency to build the kingdom of God. I don't believe that we can just sit back and just, you know, it's just going to happen. It's just, you know, fire's just going to hit me. Something's going to happen and I'm just going to take off with it. I don't believe that it works that way. We do have to be doers of what the word says. We have to be willing to rise up and be counted for. I want to challenge you. I don't know what will happen after I'm done preaching, other than maybe a few of you running out of here mad at me. But that's okay. I've told people before, we'll make up in heaven. But the presence of God was here, and it was here thick. And some of you were prayed for, and it hit you. You had an encounter. But I want to challenge you. Don't walk out these doors and go out into the world and be like you was before you came in here. Allow that happened for a reason. We don't just get in the presence of God and it's just, you know, oh, hallelujah, that was good, that was a good service. And we walk out of here, no worse for the wear. To me, that's one of the greatest atrocities that we're having now is we're experiencing God on this level, which is a glorious level, but we don't leave here any different. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you in this message, but I challenge you before I get started. Be different. Do this differently. You can do it. Sir, what I spoke over you, I wasn't joking. You're marked for greatness. And the enemy has tried to destroy you from a very young age. And there's a reason that he's done that in hopes that you wouldn't get to this point that you are now. But God's going to use you in a mighty way, sir. I promise you that. I know in my knower that he's going to do that. Just believe that and run with that. You're marked for greatness. Catch wind, catch fire, and just run with it. Amen. And Doyle said something very profound. I silence the lies of the enemies in your head, in your life right now, because I believe that he's just filling us full of a lot of dribble and garbage, and we're running with it. And I tell people all the time, well, which voice? How do I know? Well, if there's a voice tearing you down or accusing you and calling you less than, I promise you it's not God. I guarantee you it's not God. He doesn't speak that way to his children. He will correct, but he'll correct in such a way that you're like, I love that. I want that again. Help me out. He doesn't make you feel less than. He doesn't make you feel least than. He doesn't do that. In no way, shape, form does he do that. I want to preach to you on an encounter, and I'm going to read through these scriptures, and I'm going to go back and preach this. And I apologize for the amount of scripture that I'm going to read to you. I don't normally do this. You can ask the people at ITL. Normally, I'll give one verse, and we'll run with it. But I feel led that I have to read this, okay? And I want to read through this, and then I'm going to preach it. So you just bear with me. And how about when I read the word, allow it to start penetrating your heart when I read it, okay? We all know this account, John chapter 4, verse 7, and I think Gabe is going to put it up there. Is that correct? And we're going to run down through several scriptures, okay? Are you ready? All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in the name that is above every name. Father, we come to you and we recognize the glorious name that is Jesus and what he has done and the price that he has paid and what the way that he has made for everyone here. And so, Father, who has ears, let them hear this morning. Let them open their ears and their understanding to receive what is being brought forth. And, Father, don't let them be condemned through what comes forward out of here, but let them be challenged and strengthened and encouraged and edified so that they can go forth and be everything that you've called them to be. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You ready? Then a woman from Samaria came to draw water. I hope this is similar to the one that I have. I'm going to read my version here. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Come on, say, give me a drink.
Give me a drink.
If I titled that this morning, that would be the title of this morning's message. For his disciples had gone off into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman asked him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew about God's gift of eternal life, and who it is who says, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water, eternal life. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, no bucket, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also? Jesus answered her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, as a satisfying thirst for God, welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty, nor have to continually come all the way here to draw. At this, Jesus said, go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered, I do not have a husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the man you are living with is not your husband. You have said this truthfully. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place where one ought to worship is in Jerusalem at the temple. Jesus said, woman, believe me. A time is coming when God's kingdom comes, when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you worship. We Jews do know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews, but a time is coming, and it's already here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. God is spirit, the source of light, yet invisible to mankind, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ, the Anointed. When the one comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he, the Messiah. Just then his disciples came, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. However, no one said, what are you asking about, or why are you talking to her? Then the woman left her water jar and went into the city and began telling people, come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Can this be the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed? So the people left the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus to have a meal, saying, Rabbi, teacher, eat. But he told them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said, he goes on to speak some things. I want to go down to verse 39 for time's sake. It says, now many Samaritans from that city believed in him and trusted him as Savior because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to remain with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed in him with a deep abiding trust because of his word, his personal message to them. And they told the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. For now we have heard him for ourselves and know with confident assurance that this one is truly the Savior of all the world. Praise God. Praise God for his word. You might want to turn that down just a little bit. Amen. What an encounter between Jesus and a sinner. How about this? What about an encounter between Jesus and a sinner woman? Well, how about this? How about an encounter between Jesus and a sinner woman and a Samaritan? Because if you was a Jew back then, you had nothing to do with Samaritans. If you were a Samaritan, you had nothing to do with the Jews. They couldn't stand one another, and they called each other awful names. Amen? Kind of sort of something maybe we're dealing with in America right now, right? Come on. We allowed our current administration to kind of, and I think it could have been great to have had a black president, but what he done is he drove a wedge right down the middle of our country and divided it more than it ever had been. I was over in Africa for 3 weeks back in the fall in November and early December, and I looked around and I was surrounded by nothing but black people. But here's the thing, they had nothing to say, and they didn't think anything about my skin color. There was no prejudice whatsoever. There was nothing like that. There was nothing interfering or hindering what was going on in the gospel's sake, because they didn't carry that sort of junk and that sort of garbage. Amen? Hallelujah. So here's the thing. This is what Jesus is doing. And I believe this is the healing that's coming to America and is coming to the bride of Christ, is that we're going to get rid of all the skin color. We're going to get rid of all the differences in who we are. Because here's the thing. I want to share with you. The first church that was established in the book of Acts was which church? Does anybody know? Amen. It's in Jerusalem. But to me, the real church, the first church, the true church that was started, was in Antioch. Why? Because it was so diverse. They were even willing to allow a murderer by the name of Apostle Paul become part of their fellowship. They had people that were practicing sorcery. They had people from different nations and different backgrounds coming through the church. So even though our first church was in Jerusalem and it needed to be, then we get a picture of the true church, the church of Antioch, and it's different and it's broad and it's diverse. Now, we talk these things all the time and we say, you know, the latter is going to be greater than the former. And the problem is we look in the book of Acts and we read it like it's some kind of fairy tale. In all actuality, what Jesus is saying, it'll be greater. You'll tap into greater than what it was if you'll be willing to do so. But we're going to have to allow God to do some things in us in order for that to happen. When Ron began to teach Wednesday night on the spirit of Leviathan, it hit me hard. And it allowed me to know the thing that is really blocking the flow of the spirit right now, the prophetic vein can flow because the prophets want to rise up and they all look popular and they look like the guy and they're all the stuff and all that. So that is allowed to flow. But what is actually wanting to take place in the body of Christ is it's not going to be centered around one man or one woman or a group of faces. It's going to truly, it really will, whether you like it or whether I like it, it's truly going to become a nameless and a faceless thing. It's not going to be about, you know, who's this and that and what group do you run with and all that. And right now we got a little bit of division even on the East Coast of, oh, I believe this is the correct way, and I believe this is the correct way. In all actuality, they're both right, but they're not willing to humble themselves and say, let's come together for a common cause, a common goal. And that is to spread the gospel and build the kingdom. You cannot build the kingdom of God individually. It takes us to come together. It takes humility, and it really takes a work on our hearts in order to see this come to fruition. All right? Now, you ready for the meat and potatoes of the message? I want you to put verse number 7 back up there, Gabe, if you would. Amen? I'm going to make 6 points to you. Are you okay with 6? Amen. Presently, when a woman of Samaria came along to draw water, Jesus said to her, what did Jesus say to her? Give me a drink. Isn't that peculiar? He said, give me a drink. Now, I'm going to address what I feel is wrong in the body of Christ right now and what is going on. Our problem is we're walking through those doors and it's all about us. Gimme, 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 gimme. And we get like ticks that are about to pop and we don't do anything with what we've received. We won't pray for anybody. We won't lend a hand. We won't do anything for anyone else. It's just, it's about me. And right now the problem is we live in such a self-centered, self-serving time to where it's about how I feel and it's about what I want to do. But in all actuality, what Jesus is saying to the body of Christ now is, look, I'm glad you're getting full. I want to bless you. I want to do great things for you, but I kind of want you to turn that around and give back to me. Well, what can we give to Jesus that he doesn't already have? Well, the thing that he's wanting and the reason that he died for was to save the world. Let's go back to John 3:16. He came to save the world. Well, right now the world's not getting saved. It's seeing who's the greatest preacher, who's the apostle, or who's the prophet, or who's all these things. The world isn't getting saved. But some people are getting rich and they're famous and they look like they're all that in a bag of chips, when in all actuality, the real thing that we're supposed to be doing isn't taking place. Make no mistake about it. This is about one thing and one thing only, and it's about getting people saved. It's not about just walking in here and getting blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And the problem is we get all this stuff, but we won't go out there. I need to get off this job. Everybody I work with is just rotten. They cuss, they drink, they're fat. Whoa, well, it sounds like to me that you have an awesome mission field to where you could go on your job and you could do something for those people, but we want to run from it. We want to run from it. We want to run from it. When Jesus is saying, no, give me back to drink. Give me something for what I have done for you. And the problem is this. Here's the problem. We truly do not realize the price that has been paid on our behalf and what God has done on our behalf through Christ. If we would come to that revelation and the realization of who he is and what he has done, man, we would get on fire and run out of here like this woman. I've got to go tell somebody about this man. She stopped talking about her men. And she went and told everybody about the man. Amen? She told everybody about the man. Jesus looks at her and says, give me something to drink. Jesus is looking for a drink. He's looking for his bride to flow with living water again. Amen? He's looking for his bride to flow with living water again. True spirit. Not a fabricated, we had a good meeting. I told Doyle this when Jonathan Edwards was here and he and I talked and he began to talk about Wigglesworth and, you know, these guys from England and Jonathan Edwards and all of those. It challenged me because these men truly flowed, and women. Catherine Coleman. They truly flowed with living water. That what happened in their meetings was a byproduct of the kind of lives that they lived. It wasn't just happenstance. We're waiting, and all we're wanting to do is we're focused on the gifts, and we're focused on the gift of faith or a gift of a healing or miracle. But these people walked in such a way that when they went into these meetings, it flowed out of them. Living water flowed out of them. The miraculous and the healing flowed out of them. Amen? What the challenge that I'm in right now is my devotional life. Because I believe you begin to talk like and act like and do who you spend the most time with. You spend time with a cell phone all the time? Come on. I'm going to call myself out. I'll raise my hand. Nobody else is. I appreciate y'all's honesty this evening now. Come on. Man, I get locked in on this thing. Huh? And if Amy comes by, I'll pull up some scripture. Like, I've been reading the scripture off this thing. Because she's always dogging me, you know? Amen? What are we going to do? I'm asking you, are we just going to say there's a problem, there's a problem, there's a problem? Or are we going to be part? Are we going to be a solution to the problem? Amen? Are we going to, come on. I bet he's never done that for Doyle. Amen? Sorry, buddy. Amen? It's you and I that are the difference makers. It's you and I. It's our call to action. It's our call to rise up and be who God is calling us to be. We don't need to look around. Amen? Who? No, me. Me. Hallelujah. Number two, look at verse number 11. I hope Gabe's quick this morning. Amen. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. No drawing bucket. I think my version even said you don't have a rope. You don't have no bucket. You don't have no rope. And not only that, but the well is deep. We sound like Moses. Amen. We limit Jesus with the how. Come on. Early on in my ministry, and this had to be God because I'm not this slick, but this young lady that was in our ministry was doing some youth ministry, and she was just, man, she couldn't get past herself. And she said, well, how do you get up there? You know, you come from a background of drugs and alcohol, and I know you had to be called from God, and how do you do all this stuff? And I said, well, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? So I see me. I said, well, I've got to the point that I don't see me. I see Jesus. And then Philippians 4:13 comes to life, that I can do all things through him. We've took our eyes off the prize. So she took her eyes off Jesus and she started to look for something to draw water with, or what did he have to draw water with? But the thing of it is we got to look to him who is the source of all of those things. We limit Jesus because we're always wondering about the how. It's actually a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith and it's a lack of trust. We're continually looking, you know, do this for me, do this. And it's just like it's all there. I want to give you a revelation that you probably already know. But you have given access to heaven. He's made you a conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. Wait a second. Jesus made a way for the very spirit of the living God, the man himself, Holy Ghost, to come on the inside of you. I read in Hebrews of the chapter, the chapter 11, I call it the who's who's of faith. And I'm challenged by men and women, excuse me, that give their lives and gave everything they have, and they didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. Take it a step further, they didn't even have a Bible. It says Isaiah was sawn asunder. In other words, he lived out of such a way, tradition says, that they turned him upside down and split him with a saw, not a electric saw, but they took a saw and sawed him right down the middle. And I'm challenged by men and women who would actually go through that and endure that all for the sake of God's kingdom. And then I realize I have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of me. Let's take you back to Genesis 1. I'm talking about the same Spirit that hovered over the deep. And all it took was a word from God. And when God spoke, it created. Well, we have the Spirit. We have the Word. Come on. We have living water. We have the Word. Why are we not doing the things that God is calling us to do? Leonard Ravenhill said, one day, some poor soul is going to pick up the book of God, read it, believe it, and embarrass the rest of us. Amen? I'm not ashamed to be here with you this morning. Matter of fact, I know some of you very well that come to this church, and I know Doyle and Tony very well, and I am honored to be here. I'm not ashamed to be here this morning. This is amazing. This is great to be here with you. But I think to be a part of the body of Christ right now and what it looks like, it's an embarrassment. Amen? Why are you so hard on the church? I've been sent here. Do you hear me? I've been sent here to build this thing, to do it the best of my ability, and to bring the fire and the presence and help restore it back to its former glory and then greater. That's why I've been sent here. But we're going to have to address some issues. We got some issues, folks. Amen. We're good at looking at all the good things, but we really want to address. In the last 2 years, God has dealt with nothing on the inside of me but my heart. Your heart's not good. Your heart's not good. You're prideful. There's some things about you that need to change. And that's it. We don't want to address really where we're missing it. She just looked at him and said, look, you don't have nothing to draw with. And we're doing the same thing. We feel it. We feel the word of the Lord. We feel Him speaking. This is what I want. Revival's yours. You can tap into it. Souls are yours. You can tap into it. Cancer can be eradicated, but you can tap into it. We're just looking at Him and saying, well, you don't have it, do you? Maybe the next book that comes out does. Maybe, I'm not sure, but I need something else. We don't. Think about this. The Spirit of the living God is on the inside of you. That's mind-blowing. The Spirit of the living God. When you sit down and watch something, have you said to yourself, Holy Spirit, is it okay for me and you to watch this? You okay with through watching this through me? Amen. You can never pray another lick when you leave here and God won't be mad at you. You understand that? It's not a legalism thing. But I can promise you, if you don't pray, the dead's probably not going to raise. Those sick with cancer's not going to be healed. Amen. Wow, you're missing it. All right, you ready for another one? Put up verse 16. We're going to go through 16 through 18. I don't normally preach this way. Hallelujah. And this Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back here. Next verse. The woman answered, and I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have spoken truly, saying, I have no husband. For you have had five, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. In this you have spoken truly. Hallelujah. It's time to start being accountable to Him, not him or him or him or her. It's time to start being accountable to Him. I've seen individuals not miss a church service. I've seen them come into those services and engage and worship with the best of them and speak in tongues the whole time. And you would think to yourself, my God, they're at the foot of the cross. And then I've seen in a twinkling of an eye, an offense come or a situation come, and they're gone. Amen. Leonard Ravenhill said this, you want to show me a great man? I'll test and see if he's a great man. Let me share his prayer life. Let me hang out with him and let's share prayer lives together, and I'll tell you whether he's great or not. We live in a day and age to where we come in here and we've been conditioned and trained to look the part and to act the part, and then when we leave here, we do some amazing things outside of here. Our language doesn't add up, our lifestyle doesn't add up. It's Him that's watching you. I'm not watching you. I don't know what you do when you go home. I don't know what you do on Friday night. Doyle doesn't either. I don't know. But if you're accountable to me, that'll be the magnitude of your walk. But if you're accountable to Him, she's like, look, man, you know, here's the deal. He was like, no, I know. Come on. I told you I loved you. I'm just giving you the truth. Amen. How about this? What is your secret life like? Who are you when nobody's around? Ravenhill said, the most earth-shattering thought I've ever had was my personal accountability to God. Amen? Hallelujah. He's here. I got paid a high compliment one time. And this lady said, I'm not going back to Sean Boone's church. She said, because the presence of God is just too strong there and I just can't hang out in there. I don't like it. I've had encounters. I've had visions. I've been face to face. One time about 2 years into it, I was praying hard and I was on fire for God, and God was going to use me to start. So I said, I just want to be face to face with you. I just want to see you. And I remember I was praying. It was 2 o'clock in the morning and all the lights was, every light was out in the house and everyone was asleep. And I looked back in this one little room we've got in our house, and it's the kids' toy room. It's not a very big room, but the whole room was lit up. The whole room was lit up. And I heard a voice say, I'm in here, come on. I was petrified. I ought to run in there. I hope it happens to you. I was petrified because I knew he was in there. We need a new revelation, not of the fivefold, but of the majesty of God. To be accountable to Him and to Him alone. Have you asked yourself, instead of all these people that you're trying to impress, or all these people that are keeping you from coming to the altar because you're afraid what they might say or what they might do, but have you asked Him, what do you think about me? Who do you say I am? What do you think about me? Is there any things that I need to change in my life? I don't use the Word of God as something to try to get by with. Oh, it says this, I can get by with that. I don't use the Word of God for that. I use it as a gauge all the way to how I should walk my life out. I don't need a modern day preacher with a church of 50,000 to tell me what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. The Word of God has always been and always will be the gauge as to how we should live our lives. Hallelujah. Verse 27, put that up for me, Gabe, if you would. Hallelujah. Just then his disciples came and they wondered. They were surprised and astonished to find him talking with a woman, a married woman. However, not one of them asked him, what are you inquiring about, or what do you want? Or, next verse, why do you speak with her? Disciples, it's time to stop determining who is and who isn't qualified. It's time for us to stop figuring out so-and-so can do it, but so-and-so can't. Come on. I believe the greatest prophet and the greatest preacher is probably laying in a ditch right now waiting to hear the gospel, maybe with a needle in their arm, or maybe with vomit hanging out of their mouth, or... But who's going to them? Who's got time for them? Who's willing to do it? Before our building got damaged, we were waiting for the weather to break because we were going to start taking some Tuesdays and going out to the highways and byways. It's preaching to the lost. Yeah, but they may reject me. Probably. It don't matter. It don't matter who receives. What if one? We were talking with Tony and Doyle last night, and we're talking about some messages, and Amy's always kind of looked at me and said, sometimes your messages are hard, and I think the majority of them was just, it was kind of over their head, or it was just too much for them. And I thought, well, what about the one? What if I hit the one? Some man preached that was going to hold a great revival and get all these souls saved, and the man that he preached to, the only one that got saved was Billy Graham. The only one that got saved in this whole revival, where God spoke to him and said, it's thousands and thousands are coming when you go preach the gospel. And only one man came to the altar, a young man by the name of Billy Graham, that God used to change the whole world. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to go out and share the good news. I'm allowing the devil to shame me and everything else. I'm ashamed of this and I'm ashamed of that. And people say, aren't you ashamed of the things you've done? Well, I really can't go around with shame of my past because I've been redeemed of that past. I don't live there anymore. And Paul says, you know, I forget about those things and I move forward. And I'm preaching to someone, it's time to start letting your past be your past. Greatness in the kingdom of God is not who can prophesy the best or win the most souls, but greatness in the kingdom of God is whoever allows the scars in their heart to be healed. I've said it and continue to say it. The greatest in the church is the intercessors, those that don't have to see and be seen, but they're willing to come to the prayer meetings. They're willing to come and just pray out those things and they'll never be known. Come on. Who did it? We don't know. Who prayed it through? I was standing here when Doyle was praying for folks. He eventually motioned for me to come up, but I was standing there and said, I don't have to lay hands on anyone, but God, I'm willing to pray. Just use my being and who I am just as an avenue or catalyst for healing to come in the room. Do you see? It's not about whether you touch somebody or not, but you could say a prayer back there from the corner of the room and someone could get healed through your obedience. Willingness to not have to see and be seen. Hallelujah. The day of the superstar preacher's over. Hallelujah. Of gaining fame through the gospel. They didn't even ask him. They didn't even ask him. They were just, their minds was blown that he was talking to a woman. She was a Samaritan, and they probably knew something about her, that she was a harlot. She slept around and had several. And just they were just astonished. Why are you even talking? They wasn't even concerned with what he was saying to her. That's what's most important. What's coming forth? It's not the individual that it's coming to. It's the content that's coming forth. It's the ability to receive what is coming forth. If you have a heartbeat and your lungs go in and out with air, you are qualified to do miracles. You're qualified to do something great for God. You're qualified to lay hands on the sick. You're qualified to cast out devils. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a teacher, an evangelist. You don't have to be all of those things. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist. But we've let titles get in the way. If you grew up around here, you grew up with the same garbage idea. Oh, you can't let women speak in church. I could choke somebody. Do you know the how those scriptures actually run down? Paul was answering questions. He read that off, and this is what they said, and he said, what? Did it only come to you? Are you the only ones that can preach the gospel, he said? Are you crazy? He said, you know, you're nuts to say that a woman can't speak in church, is what he said. Oh, no, but my granny done told me, buddy, and she was at the foot of the cross. Well, she may have been, but your granny didn't have an understanding of the Word of God. I just called somebody's granny out. Amen. Let's look at verse 31 through 33. I can promise you, if you don't like me, I'll get my 7-8 hours sleep tonight, I can promise you, unless the Lord wakes me up to pray. I mean, I'm serious. But if you can catch wind of what God is doing. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat something. All right? But he assured them, I have food, nourishment to eat of, which you know nothing and have no idea. Next verse. So the disciples said one to another, has someone brought him something to eat? My Lord, have you eat? You want something to eat? Have you eat anything? The problem is he looked at a woman and said, I want something to drink. I don't need anything to eat. That's not what I'm doing right now. In other words, they were offering the right thing in the right thing in the wrong season. Come on. We got to figure out what he's doing. I'm going to take you somewhere. I promise I'll tie this all together. They were offering the right thing, a good thing, in the wrong season. Because he said, I want water. Amen. I want food. This is not what I'm doing right now. I want living water to flow through my bride again. Amen. Jesus is saying this. I've done been nourished. And I thirst. I want living water to flow through the body again. Do you know who I'm speaking to? And do you know who he's speaking to right now? The bride. This is what we need. Prophetically, this is what we need. There's plenty of great teaching out there. Don't get me wrong. I love it. And Ron, I commend you. For the last week, I have stuck my nose in your teachings. Normally, 5 minutes, I got it all figured out. Not now. So my hat's off to you, sir. I love it. I love to be challenged. The word's got to be preached. I received a vision in this floor. Amy's like, here he goes. Anyway, this is my corner, y'all. This is it. I received a vision in this floor. And in that vision, and I preached on it for probably over 2 months at End of the Light Ministries. But in that vision, I saw a golden snake fall at my head. I had a golden chest full of gold that fell at my torso. And it went out and it built a temple. And then at my feet fell the Ark of the Covenant. I said, God, what does this mean? He said, I'm bringing my presence back into the house again. God just gave me revelation after revelation. I preached my wee little heart out. God actually asked me to write a book about it. But through the years of the stripping of the church, we've stripped the presence of God out of our services. We got Jesus above the door, but we don't walk in and we don't encounter Jesus. We got, you know, the living God. Anyway, I drive to war on a regular basis, and I see churches with, you know, 25 character names. You know, Church of the True Living First God, of the Last and the Alpha and the Omega, the Dead of the, you know. Joey's like, I know you do. And please know, I mean, that's my home now. I mean, I'm down there twice a week. You know, I love it down there. But he ain't in there. He's not in there. Can I say ain't? He ain't in there. Ron probably get on to me. You don't talk like that. But he's not in there. And we're okay. We're okay with having church. And here's how we're looking at the success of the church right now. Is it big and is it full? Does it have a lot of people? Does it offer a lot of programs? Is it reaching everyone? But if we read the scriptures, because he says the gospel's life to some and it's death to some. Come on. It's death to some. In other words, it shouldn't be our objective to reach everyone. I can't believe you said that. I did say that. You can't, because you can't. You just think you can. You can't. You can't reach everyone. Amen? And so that's successful church. I remember years ago in pastors' meetings about 7 years ago, and somebody said, how big's your church? How many you got in your church? You know, and if I said, man, we've got into like started a couple years, we got right at 100. Oh, you got 100? Oh, what? So what's that mean? The gauge of successful church always has been and always will be, is he there? Is he there? Because if he's there, well, how was this ministry named? Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Huh? It blows my mind, Tony. It blows my mind of what all we have to offer the people. But the people are still in bondage. They still deal with depression. They still deal with fear. They still... It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the presence of God that brings all this great stuff, all this freedom, all of this stuff to us. But we want to offer them, you know, I got this to offer you. This will get you into discipleship, get you into where you can be used by God a little bit. And that's it. I run into more depressed, sad, bound still by addiction Christians than I ever should. Does God want to use you? Yes, He wants to use you, but He wants to set you free. It's a matter of the heart. And we're good. We're good at, you know, we think we're healed, but then a situation arises and those same old feelings rise back up. Those same old tendencies rise back. That same old addiction rises back up. I lived it. I thought I was free. I was on fire for God. And guess what? I started a church and found out everybody didn't love me. And the next thing you know, I'm wanting to take a pill because, well, my back's hurting, but you know what? I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Why'd you say that? To help somebody. I lived it. I went through it. I know where I'm at right now. Amen. But what I didn't realize, God didn't want me to start a church. He didn't want those things to trump the fact that He wanted to heal me to the uttermost. It's the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. It's embracing the truth. And when we embrace the truth that He is able, the Son of God is able to come in and set us free. It's time to stop living a lie. It's time to stop pretending. It's time to stop coming in here and convincing everybody, oh, all is well in your world when it's not. Who cares? Who cares? I let go of great ministry and preaching to the world. I let that go a couple years ago. Help me, God. My heart's hurting. It's been there since I was young. Help me. There's no shame in that game, guys. Please, just get real, walk in here and say, things are just not all right. Help me. Help me, preacher. Help me. If somebody pray me through, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for authenticity. Oh, hallelujah. He's looking for genuine. He's looking for the real deal. I study a lot of leadership, John Maxwell leadership, and Dole got me started on that about 3 years ago. But I'm reading a book on how to be an influencer. Been studying it a long time, read it through. You know, Dr. John Polis, his son, spent 3 weeks with him. He's actually a coach. But the number one thing of how to be an influencer is integrity. Integrity. Amen? Isn't that mind-blowing? People, and here's the thing. If you notice, there's a lot of young people that are even here, and more of our people will be here. And I told Doyle, I said, it gets younger in here when I walk in here. Not that I'm just younger than him and you know, better looking. I mean, not, you know. But young people, they know fake and phony. They know fake and phony. They don't go anywhere where it's fake and phony and you're blowing smoke. They won't fool with that. And these young people, you know, come where Amy and I are at because we're real. We just be real. You know? I've made mistakes. You know? I've got Sarah's husband's not here. He's at work. But he said, the reason I started coming to your church, I visited one time and you got up and said, I missed it. Oh, Lord, he ain't a prophet. He's not a true man of God. He said he missed it. The fact of the matter is every man of God's missed it. Every woman of God has missed it from time to time. And listen, I'm not prophesying this over my life or speak. I'll miss it again because I'm a human being. I'll miss it again at some point, but that's okay. God didn't tell me I had to be perfect. He told me just keep getting back up. Keep getting back up. I'm telling you, get back up. Don't lay down. Don't let Him get you down. Don't let Him beat you down. Get back up. I'm about to close. Somebody says, praise God. Verse 39 through 42. Gabe, you're the man. Thank you so much, sir. Say it. Now, numerous. Say numerous.
Numerous.
Samaritans from that town or that city believed in and trusted in him, not the Samaritan woman, in him because of what the woman said when she declared and testified. He told me everything that I ever did. Next verse. So when the Samaritans arrived, they asked him to remain with them, and he did stay there 2 days. They got it right, didn't they? Oh, don't stay with us, prophet, preacher, woman. God, Jesus, we want you. We want to inhabit you. Amen. Next verse. Then many more believed in and adhered to and relied on him because of his personal message, what he himself said. Next verse. And they told the woman, now we no longer believe or trust to have faith just because of what you said, for we have heard him ourselves personally, and we know that he truly is the Savior, the man of the world. A city was revived. The woman figured out what the disciples did. Right? Ladies and men, people, I do a lot of counseling too, and people get so mad at me. I want a date. I want a date. Date him. Date Jesus. Date him. And when you and him are done, go find you a fella. Get you one. You'll figure it out. You'll get the right one. Men, you'll get the right gal. Oh no, I gotta have somebody now. I don't want to be alone. This is in the younger generation, it's a common thing I run into. Got to have a boyfriend. Got to have a girlfriend. Got to. Man. She figured out what they didn't. They could have been a part of a revival in the whole city. But she sparked a revival for her people. For the Samaritans who didn't even come near Jews, think about this. All these Samaritans run to this Jew whom they hated. All these Samaritans run to this Jew and said, we want to hear what you got to say. Help us out. Her authenticity, her ability to figure out what Jesus wanted, allowed God to use her. Was she qualified? No. I mean, up to that point, she done had 5 husbands. And the guy she was shacked up with, she wasn't qualified. But all it took was an encounter and a word and to figure out what Jesus was doing in that season to come and revive a whole city. The word of the Lord's come forth. God wants to revive Bluefield. But we got to do it His way. Right? We got to walk it out His way. Amen. So what are we going to do? I'm going to say this to you. I believe part of what would revive this city is for us to just get real and stop focusing on revival. Stop focusing on having crazy services, but really focusing inward and say, hey, let's get me going. Let's get a personal revival going within my own heart and within my own self. And then we can walk in here. We can walk in here. And then when we come together, it's a beautiful thing. Then when we unite, we become one. Because we don't have issues in our heart that, you know, call this one out and call that one out. And, you know, Doyle likes this one better and Sean likes that one better. You know? Then we can see God move. In order to receive those things, you have to be humble. You have to be low. I'm gonna hurt a few people's feelings, but you don't have the ability to gauge what's in your own heart. You need a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad. You need someone over you to be able to tell you what's going on in your own heart. I'll give this quick testimony, and then I'm going to open this altar up. As you heard me say, for the last 2 years, I've been asking God, deal with my heart. Show me my own heart. And I would have encounters out in my driveway in the summertime and just have visions of him and experience him and be laying in the floor and all these things. And God was really working on my heart. But I was in Eldoret, Kenya, sitting with John Paulus. And we were talking about revival and talking about coming back this coming year and all this stuff. And basically he revealed my heart to me. He showed me some of the selfish ambition in my own heart and that I was just wanting to see and be seen. And God used him to reveal that to me. And I want you to know something. I grew more from that encounter with him than I did that other year and a half without him. And listen, I walked away after that conversation and I went in my room and I started pacing the floor. I don't know if I like him or not. I don't know if I approve of that or not. I don't know if I like that experience or not. But I said, Lord, I'm trusting that you've placed him in my life and this is what I needed to hear. And I began to pray that out and all of a sudden, something came over me that I had never experienced before. A peace. Saw my own heart for what it was. And God used a spiritual influence and a father in my life to do that. Amen. It says he turns the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. And it removes the curse. It broke something off my life. It broke something off my life. Truth hurts, don't it? It's painful. But if we allow it to have its perfect work in us, amen. I got a little bit famous in Africa, and you want to know how I did it? I said these words. You can't have revival. Revival must have you. Them Kenyans loved it. Oh, there's the guy that had that catchy saying. Just a little nugget from God. You know, wasn't hard to get. But I'm saying that. I know what we're at the threshold of. I was talking to a lady that goes to my church and I said, we are at the threshold of the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God that the earth has ever seen. That the earth has ever seen. What about when Jesus, it's greater. It's greater. We're at the threshold of it.